this is Martin, and this is episode 1984 in my podcast series. Today, we'll be looking at three articles online that are from the modern era, but can tie back to the originally published in 1949 book 1984 by George Orwell. The first article that I found was called Life Under Kim Jong-un. Recent North Korean escapees relate how the secretive government has changed under the great successor. So in this article, there are many stories and a basic overview of how the citizens in North Korea are treated and what happens there. So the big tie with the book and this article is how the government is very totalitarian, pronouncing it wrong, but how they have total control over everybody. And this can be seen in how they limit freedom of speech and even thought of people, like in the book where you had the thought police, and then also you have the government being very strict, giving very harsh sentences, and even torture. And you can see in 1984, Winston was also tortured. And also, you have the thought police, which is kind of a form of a secret police. And North Korea has a direct secret police. And one of the teenage prisoners that escaped, he said, quote, "I was interrogated again by the secret police, and they wanted to know about my mother's business," end quote. And how the secret police has a huge force in North Korea. And this is all under Kim Jong-un's rule. And in 1984, everything was under the, quote, Big Brother's rule. And also, in North Korea, you have all sorts of people that escaped. And a very, very impactful story of people who escaped were little kids. They were in pre-K and kindergarten. And what they said was very, very interesting, and you can directly look at what they said to 1984. So the first quote that comes from one of the young children is that we got gifts on Kim Jong-un's birthday. Candy and cookies and gum and puffed rice. I was so grateful to him for giving me all these sweets. We would stand up in class and say, "Thank you, General Kim Jong-un," end quote. This is very scary to think that these kids are being brainwashed from when they're in preschool. And also you have another preschooler who said, "I learned songs about the general and about the Kim family and how great Kim Il-sung was." And if we look at the history of North Korea and how the people were actually treated, this is really not the case. And these little kids are being taught how great these leaders are, and in reality, they're not. And then you have so many stories of like university students who said that to make sacrifices in our daily lives, we would build weapons and protect our country, keep the nation safe. Now, in 1984, a lot of people had to keep the nation safe, keep Oceania safe from the other countries like Eurasia. And also, the university student said, "I was so sick of calling everyone comrade. I didn't care about any of that stuff." Now, in Big Brother, they do exactly the same thing. And in 1984, Kim Jong-un is very much like Big Brother. And also, you have a doctor who said, the Kim family uses terror to keep people scared. And that makes it impossible to stage any kind of social gathering, let alone an uprising. And in 1984, when Winston and Julia and the rest of the people against the Brotherhood tries to rise up, the social type of brainwashing of Oceania kept them from doing that. And even the person they thought is one of them and would give them the manifesto to against the Brotherhood was actually a spy. And in North Korea, they have many spies like this. And you can see from a book that was supposed to be about the 80s and about this totalitarian government. And we still have a government like this in North Korea. And unfortunately, we can't really do anything about it at this time. Then the second article that I found was about the NSA. And how the NSA continues to violate America's internet privacy rights. And that is the title of the article. Now, it begins with a federal court who is scrutinizing one of the NSA's worst spying programs. And this type of, quote, unconstitutional surveillance program is called PRISM. And it is under both the NSA, FBI, and CIA. And what this does, it gathers and searches through Americans, international emails, internet calls, and chats. And this program can look at major internet companies and your profiles, including Facebook, Google, Apple, and Skype. Now, this is very interesting. Because you would think that, yeah, that America's trying to keep us safe. And maybe, even though, you know, they can see your all your accounts and stuff, it's more about, you know, terrorism and trying to fight, you know, anti-government type of people and programs. But you have a case where, quote, the government accused a Brooklyn man, Argan Hazbandjerami, of attempting to provide material support to designate terrorist organization in Pakistan after he pleaded guilty to one of the charges. The government blatantly admitted that it had read through his emails without a warrant, end quote. Now, even though they're trying to fight terrorism, this was an American citizen that was looked at without a warrant. Now, if we look in real life, and let's say the police want to search you, or they want to really go through your emails and such, they need a warrant. Now, why is the government doing this without a warrant? If our local police can't do this, what rights does the government have? And also, you have like your smartphones, iPad, tablets, where they're listening to you, and you know, you even see if you just have your phone and you say, "Hey Siri," it automatically comes on. Now, how is that program working? It's always listening to you. Or your camera, you have the live picture mode. Now, it starts the picture before you press the camera button, so your camera is always watching you. And the government, you can see this in the PRISM project. And also, this huge internet surveillance grew out of the Bush administration post 9/11, and it was very much a conspiracy. A lot of people said, oh, you know, it's like this. And a lot of people at that time, right after 9/11, you know, about this spying program, they thought about 1984 and Big Brother and how the government spied on everybody. But later on, you have a man by the name of Edward Snowden who blew the whistle on this project of the government, and that is very suspicious, and he had to flee the country. And in 1984, if you did anything against the government like this, you had to also flee Oceania. And also, again, the NSA said they're really trying to use this for foreign affairs and less about the citizens, but quote, PRISM is a warrantless wiretapping program that operates under the clock and it vacuums up emails, Facebook messages, etc. And that these databases can be searched through for years to come. And then I'm going to end that quote there. And that is very interesting. And also, the journalist is saying that this is lacking your Fourth Amendment privacy rights. And this is the classic, the police can't do a search and seizure without having either good proof or without a warrant. And so how can the government do this online? And online is a big world now. And it's not like everybody's outside and they'll search and seizure everybody, but they can do this online. And this is very much surveillance and the classic Big Brother. And even before I read it, 1984, I heard the term Big Brother used many a times and about the government spying on us. And then you can directly relate 1984 and the surveillance on its people to modern times. And even though we don't have a totalitarian dictatorship in the United States, we have some of those themes, like spying on people, and then also torture. Like our current president, he is really for uses of torture. In Oceania, they are very much for use of torture. Now, my third article, which is a little bit of a sad article, but it is a important one to look at. And this is about Otto Warmbier. And he was a American university student who went to North Korea on a travel expedition. And he was at his hotel one night, and the North Korean government said that he stole a propaganda poster from the hotel. Now, also knowing a little bit more about this case by watching a documentary on it, they have a video of Otto Warmbier, and it's a little sketchy because it's not really clear. And how this happened, and what happened was that he was at the hotel, he had his trip, and he went to the airport, and they stopped him in the airport and took his bags, and his flight left and he never left. And then the next that you saw of him, he was in the court pleading guilty to stealing propaganda. Now, going back to 1984, anything to do with stealing, touching, or harming the propaganda was very much a no-no. And in North Korea, it is very much a no-no to this day. And so they stopped him, and then he pleaded guilty. And if you watch his plea, it's a little fishy and kind of scripted, if you know what I mean. But it's very interesting that what happened. And then in the article, it said that he was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor. But after 17 months or so, the government sent him back. But when he got back, there was pretty obvious proof that he was tortured and brainwashed. Because medically, the doctor in the ER said that his bottom teeth, quote, his bottom teeth had appeared rearranged, a large scar running the length of Otto's right foot, hands and legs as best described as totally deformed, end quote. Now, this type of traumatic injury could only be caused by torture and possibly interrogations by the North Korean government, because trauma like this is typically not caused by, you know, hard labor. You might, you know, get sick from it, but, and also mentally, he was very much, his father said that he was, quote, like in a, like vegetable, end quote, in very much of a vegetative state, and his brain was not functioning properly. And this could have been his brain shutting down from what he endured in North Korea. It is unbelievable that you have a book like 1984, which is supposed to be fiction, and it's supposed to be a more of an extreme result of what government could be, and the torture that Winston endured, the brainwashing, the propaganda, the surveillance. And we have this in our modern day. We have especially the surveillance in countries like the United States and other countries. And then torture. Multiple countries are torture criminals and torture people and even brainwash them. And then you have governments like North Korea and not so much, but in the recent Cuba, who are very much totalitarian, who had an iron fist on its people, and like in Oceania, they said every country outside of this wants to fight you, wants to kill you, wants to be at war with you. And guess what? Especially North Korea, they very much wanted war. Now they really have more of peace talks and are more peaceful, but they're very much like America wants to go war with them. And in Oceania, they thought that everybody wanted to go in war with them. And in Oceania, they're very much about this whole militarization, people fighting for the government. And you can see this also in big country North Korea. And reading these three articles, you can see that this book is very, as even more relevant than in the late 1940s, 50s, where it was written. Because this was written for 84, and even in the 80s, you had nothing as close to this type of government regime. You had communism, it was very much totalitarian, but you don't have as much extreme, especially in surveillance, as you do now. Even though the KGB had pretty good surveillance, they didn't have as much online surveillance as countries like the United States has. That is very an interesting point to make, and is a good reason why this book should be read and taught in schools, and even as early as grammar schools, because the themes in this book are very important, and especially now with the upcoming election season and government in general, to say what is the government doing and are they really spying on us? What do they want? And hopefully North Korea will become more free, more peaceful, and no government or people have to endure this type of regime as in 1984. Thank you for listening to my podcast. And have a good day.